The reading is taken from Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia, chapter 2, starting at verse 15. And that's on page 1169 in the Bibles on the in your pews. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. If, while we seek to be justified in Christ, it becomes evident that we ourselves are sinners, does that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, I prove that I am a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. This is the word of the Lord.
I'd like to invite Jane to come up for me to pray with you as you come and lead us in the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jane and all that you have been doing this week in speaking your word and wisdom. Lord, I pray that we will hear what you are saying to us personally. I lift this morning to you in your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. You might have heard the story of the tightrope walker, Charles Blondin. In 1859... he stretched a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he walked backwards and forwards between America and Canada, 160 feet above the water. Great crowds gathered to watch him. Once he walked across on stilts. Another time he crossed in a sack. He cycled a bike across. He pushed a wheelbarrow across, and he walked across backwards. One day, having just crossed blindfolded, he asked the crowd if they thought he would be able to push the wheelbarrow across with somebody in it. And the crowd all replied, "Oh yes, we believe you can do that." Blondin then asked for a volunteer. Would you have volunteered? There was no response. You see, the crowd had seen the evidence that he could safely cross the tightrope. They believed he could do it, but they were not prepared to put their trust in him to actually carry them across. There's a difference between believing something and having real faith. And that's what we're exploring today as we consider the next catechism question. Last week, when Lee spoke to us, we learned that we are saved only by faith in Jesus Christ. And this week's question asks us, what is faith in Jesus Christ? So we've said we're saved by faith. Well, what does that faith look like? What does it mean to have faith in Jesus? Is just saying we believe in him enough? The Catechism answer tells us that faith is receiving and resting on him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. Or to extend it a bit, the full version says, faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting in him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. Our reading this morning came from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, they were Gentile Christians who had heard the message from Paul, heard the gospel. They'd learnt, like we did last week, that we are saved only through faith in Jesus Christ and in his atoning death. But then Jewish Christians had come to Galatia, and they were telling the church that they needed to follow the Jewish law and adopt rituals like circumcision in order to be true Christians. And Paul wrote his letter to correct that thinking. And he starts off in chapter 1, the bit before we had, showing his surprise and his distress that they're accepting a different message to the truth they'd first heard. And he says in chapter 1, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And then Paul went on to remind them of the source of the gospel message that they'd heard. He said to them, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul was saying that the message he had given them was the true gospel, received from God, and anything else is a lie. And he goes on through chapter 1 to show them that adding the Jewish law to their faith would be wrong. And our reading today started with these words. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law. Because by observing the law, no one will be justified. As a Jew, Paul had lived under the law, and that had taught him that observing the law was not the way to be put right with God. In those two verses, Paul uses the word justified three times. And it's a word that crops up quite a lot in the New Testament. It means to be put right or to be declared right. It's actually a legal term. So what Paul's saying is that we're not put right with God by observing the law, but only by faith in Christ. One way of remembering what justified means is to think that by faith in Christ, Jesus makes it just as if I'd never sinned. We're justified just as if we'd never sinned, but only through faith. When Paul said that the Galatians didn't need to add following the law to their faith, he didn't mean that they shouldn't obey the Ten Commandments. God's commandments show us how God's people should live, and of course we should do our best to keep them, but that will not bring us to salvation. Over the centuries, the Jewish priests and the Pharisees had added hundreds of rules and regulations to God's laws. Rules about hand washing, the kind of foods they could eat, the people they could mix with. It's those kind of rules that Paul was telling the Galatians they didn't need. It was trying to keep all those regulations that had shown Paul that he could not earn righteousness with God, but needed the gift of God's grace. In fact, as he said in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If keeping the law made us righteous, there would have been no need for Jesus to die. Paul's point is that Jesus did die for us because nothing else can save us from sin and make us right with God. True faith in Jesus is enough. We don't need faith plus circumcision or faith plus the law or faith trying to do good deeds, trying to live a good life. But that still leaves us with the question, if all we need is true faith in Jesus, what is that faith? And Paul gave us a clue in verses 19 and 20 of the reading. Through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says he has died to his old way of life. He has given up everything he thought was important in order to follow Christ. Paul has given up trying to earn the right to be with God and is totally relying on the sacrifice of Jesus. There are two parts to faith in Jesus. First, believing in his death for our forgiveness, and then giving up anything else we might rely on to completely trust him. The first part is quite often easier than the second. So we say that we believe in Jesus. Well, that's a good start. But what do we actually believe about him? Many people believe that a man named Jesus lived, worked miracles, taught wisely, set a good example. But that isn't faith in him. Okay, we believe Jesus is the Son of God, one with God. That's good. But as James said in his letter, even demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. The faith that saves us and brings us to eternal life with God is faith in the work of Jesus on the cross. Believing that Jesus' death destroyed the power of sin so that we can be forgiven. Recognising that Jesus is the Messiah, the Saviour promised by God and prophesied through the Old Testament. That is the message of salvation given to us in the Gospel. But just believing with our heads is not enough. You know, like the crowd in the story of Charles Blondin, we have all the evidence to believe, but we might not be able to act on that belief and take the step of fully trusting. Faith is putting the belief into action, moving it from something we just believe up here in our heads to something that's going to change the way we live our lives. The evidence is there in the Bible's teaching that the only way to salvation is through Jesus. But we still cling to ideas that there might be something else we need to do. We think good deeds might earn us points with God towards our salvation. Or we worry that we're not really good enough. These attitudes show that we're not fully trusting in Jesus' work on the cross to have done all that was needed. We've got to let go of any attempt to try and put ourselves right with God and accept that Jesus has already done everything that's necessary so we can leave our old lives behind and walk forward in the freedom in new ways of God. And we can also trust God to fully provide and care for us now. When we think something other than God is the answer to our needs, It's showing we've not put our full trust in him, because he will provide. Faith is a free gift from God. When God chooses us as his children, he gives us faith. We don't have to earn it, but we do have to receive it, and we do have to use it. As we accept Jesus into our lives, our faith will grow. But our faith might get battered and tested by difficult circumstances. It's through those times of testing, if we hold firmly to God, that our faith will be strengthened. But often we still have that niggling doubt that our faith might not be enough to save us. Let me tell you a story, and there is a reason behind this. Several years ago, I was asked to take part in a charity abseil down the side of Eastbourne Hospital. As we were waiting our turn, we watched other people coming down and all arriving at the bottom. Then we were fitted with the appropriate equipment and we received the safety briefing. My dad went first. He'd done it before, and he stepped off the roof and confidently walked down the side of the building. And then it was my turn. I nervously climbed off the roof onto a little ledge and stood there while the instructor reassured me that he would be holding the safety rope, and if I got into trouble, he could simply lower me to the ground. So I took a deep breath, stepped off the ledge, let the rope take my weight. It probably wasn't the best technique. Actually, Ian refers to it as ab-dropping rather than ab-sailing. But I made it to the bottom. And then we stood and watched as our son James, aged about 11, climbed onto the little ledge, stood there for what seemed like forever, and then climbed back on to the safety of the roof. He did appear a bit later and made the descent accompanied by an instructor. Okay, the point of that digression into my family past is that it didn't matter how confident we were. It didn't matter how good our technique was. Once we showed the faith to step off the ledge, we all made it safely to the ground because of the strength of the equipment and the skill of the instructors. We might feel our faith in God is not enough, or we don't know how to live for him. We don't know enough about the Bible. But it isn't about the strength of our faith. It's about the strength and faithfulness of God. Or as I've heard it put, you don't need a big faith, just faith in a big God. If you believe that God can save you, the next step is to trust in him to hold you and bring you safely through this life and into eternal life. Sometimes this life feels out of control, like dangling in midair on the end of a rope. But real faith means that we trust God is the one holding the rope, and he is in control. And that faith will lead us to a desire to trust, to obey, to worship, and to serve Jesus wholeheartedly. It changes the way we live our lives. But does the way we're living show that true faith? Are you fully trusting God with your time, your money, your health, your decision making? Faith in Jesus is the only way to salvation and the only way to live our best lives now. One way of describing faith in Jesus is forsaking all, I trust him. To really follow Jesus, we need to let go of all the other things. We need to leave hold of everything we think we might need and trust him because he provides what he knows we do need. We can see in the Bible the evidence that faith in Jesus is the way to eternal life. But just believing with our minds is not enough. We need to put our full trust in him. Can you confidently say that you believe and trust in Jesus? Perhaps today is the day to turn what you believe as a fact into a living and active faith. And if you think that's you, then speak to someone after the service. The Catechism told us that faith in Jesus Christ is acknowledging the truth of everything that God has revealed in his word, trusting in him, and also receiving and resting on him alone for salvation, as he is offered to us in the gospel. Faith means trusting Jesus as Saviour and Lord, living for him alone, giving him full control over every aspect of our lives. Amen.